Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today we have an opportunity to dive into your word, to look and hear and see how you, through your son Jesus, are working. And Father, we pray that you would work in us through your Holy Spirit, penetrating our hearts and minds. Teach us what we need to know. Help us to grow deeper and deeper in relationship with you. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. So today we are in the gospel reading, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, and checking out this miracle of Jesus feeding people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we find the disciples and Jesus. And before this, Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, rest up a little bit. And the text in Greek states that the people were habitually coming to them, so much so they didn't even have the chance to eat. This is what verse 31 says. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place. Rest a while. For many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. But see, the translation, we missed something because it says they were continuously coming, habitually coming. It was like there was no office hours. This didn't stop. They just kept on coming and coming and coming. And so the disciples retreated to a deserted place by themselves. Well, what's funny about this whole situation is the disciples, when they started going where they were going, many people recognized the disciples. And together by land, they actually ended up beating them to where they were going. So they're like, man, I can't wait to rest. Oh, man. They all beat them there. They were there when by the time they got there. It was wild. And so verse 34 goes on to say, like, as Jesus comes to the where all of the people are that beat them there, in verse 34, it says he had deep, heartfelt compassion for them. Because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And it says he began to teach them a lot. That's really what it's saying. ESV says many things, but it's really saying he taught them a lot. And so the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, the place is deserted. There's no Ingles, there's no Kroger, there's no Publix. There's not even a Weigel's or, believe it or not, a pilot station here. There's nothing. Even the new Bucky's going up in Sevierville, not there. It's not there, it's gone, it's deserted. Even if they were there, they would be closed. But because it's a deserted place, there's nothing there. So can you dismiss these people, Lord? So they can go over to the countryside, the surrounding countryside and villages, and so they can buy for themselves what they need to eat. And so Jesus, in response to the disciples' request, says, well, give them something to eat, all of y'all. That's what he's saying. I love this. Jesus must have really had a special place in his heart for Tennessee. He says, give them something to eat, all of y'all. Just y'all feed, y'all take care of this. Deal with it. And so the disciples say, well, shall we go over to the Kroger in the next town and buy bread for 200 denarii and give them something to eat? Jesus says, well, how many loaves of bread do you have? Go and see. And so after knowing the answer, they start tabulating. They get their fingers and their toes out, and they start counting everything. And after knowing the answer, they say, well, we have 5 loaves of bread. We have 2 fish. And so Jesus directs the disciples to have everybody sit, all of the people, by eating parties on the lush green grass. And I want you to see here, there's an intentionality at the way Jesus works. He has a very intentional reason for why he does what he does. And he says, sit them all down in eating parties in this green grass. Now, hopefully there's no mosquitoes in this green grass like there would be here. And so they recline group by group by hundreds and fifties. Again, why is it important that we know they're by hundreds and fifties? Because Jesus is intentional. Details matter to Jesus. So the small details in your life, they matter to Jesus. And so upon taking the five loaves and the two fish, looking up into the sky, Jesus says a blessing. He breaks the loaves of bread and proceeds to give them to the disciples in order so they can set out the food before the people. And the fish, they divide them all. And it says this, all ate and had their fill. All of them ate and had their fill. With five loaves of bread and two fish for 5,000 people. And so much, they all ate as much as they wanted. It was like a buffet. And they still had 12 baskets left over of food, of bread and fish. And it says there were 5,000 men. Now, a little bit of Jeopardy knowledge here this morning. If anybody ever asks you, you know. This is the only miracle of Jesus that's recorded in all four Gospels. I have no reason why. I mean, the only thing I could think of is because we love food. That's really it. That's my theological position on this, because we love food. But I want you to get a picture of what's all happening here. There's a lot going on in this text. Text says the place is deserted. Not that it's a desert. There's a difference. The text says it's desolate. That simply means this place has no communities. It's not cultivated. That means if 5,000 people stroll on up looking for the buffet, the buffet is not only closed, the building hasn't even been erected yet. That's what desolate means. There's no community. So that's why the disciples say, Jesus, it's late. We don't have any food. Can we just all go Dutch? Can you just ring the school bell and stop teaching, please, so these people can just go find their own food? Can you do that for us? And I want to focus on a few things as we look at this miracle. First, notice early on how Jesus has compassion for the people. As he says, they're sheep without a shepherd. So what does he do? He has compassion on them, and then he begins to teach them. Here, Jesus is providing for the people. He's shepherding them. If he has compassion on them because they're sheep without a shepherd, what are they looking for? They're looking for somebody to love them. They're looking for someone to say, you matter. And Jesus has compassion for them and love. And by taking the time and teaching them what they need to know as much as he can, he's saying, you matter to me and I love you. And the important thing for you and I to know is that Jesus is not just having them where they're at and just saying, yeah, you're gonna just stay where you are. He's giving them what they need. He's saying, I've got something better for you than what you have for yourself. That your identity is that you are my son or you're my daughter and you are loved. And see, the world today will tell us your identity has to be this, that, or the other thing, but the main thing that matters for you and me, and for everyone in this world, is their identity, the only one that matters, is found that they are a child of God, and they're loved, and they're adored. And also, he continues to show his compassion as he prods the disciples to feed them. Now, did the disciples end up feeding these 5,000 men and presumably more women and children? I mean, we can't assume that everybody was married or that everybody had 3.2 children in the crowd. But you gotta assume, like, if you just look, there's probably somewhere around 9 or 10,000 people that they fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that Jesus fed through this miracle. And I just gave away the answer, but did the disciples feed these people? No, ultimately Jesus showed his care and love by turning 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough food so everyone had as much as they wanted, and there was still food left over. There was doggy bags to take home. This is great. Again, Jesus provides. And when Jesus provides for you and me, friends, he provides more than you and I even need. They ate and they had their fill. It's like the grace and mercy and forgiveness that Jesus gives us. It's so much. It's an abundance of grace and mercy that Jesus gives us. And then there's this shepherd motif where Jesus says that he has compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. This kind of refers us back to Psalm 23. Maybe it's a psalm you're familiar with, where God is the people's shepherd and he has them lie down in green pastures. He prepares food for them. He cares for them. He's the shepherd. Remember, they're in a place that's deserted, and yet Jesus is laying them in this green, lush, fresh grass. That brings me to my one negative that I've discovered in Knoxville, Tennessee. There's not a ton of green, lush, fresh grass here. I mean, it's green, but it's not real thick. Like St. Augustine thick from where I'm at, like where I'm from. Like where you can just lay down and it feels like one of those nice, thick carpet pads. You can walk in the grass. Fescue and Bermuda just don't do it for me, friends. I'm sorry. I mean, that's my only negative of Knoxville so far. I shouldn't say so far. That's not nice, is it? That wasn't nice. But there is okay grass, but I picture St. Augustine grass as these people are sitting down and they're going, man, no mosquitoes in St. Augustine. It doesn't get much better than this. See, what does a shepherd do when a sheep needs to eat? He leads them to the greenest grass possible. And that's what Jesus does for all these people. He's showing, man, I've got the best for you, better than you could even imagine for yourselves. And here's what's amazing about this. He sits them in this organized fashion. The people don't get the food themselves. They don't serve themselves. There's nowhere to get food on their own. They're in a desolate place. And they don't even get up. Jesus taught and provides this lush green grass, all the food that they could handle. And how awesome is this? You have Jesus in front of you. You got all the food you could want. You're sitting in the grass. This is an amazing picture. And notice the disciples. They wanted to figure out the food situation themselves. Their idea of how to solve this dilemma that was present was just stop teaching Jesus and let him go get food somewhere else. We could just wash our hands of this. We don't have to deal with any situation if they just go get their own food. And that's when Jesus said, give them something to eat, all of y'all. They didn't know what to do. The only way they could see how this would work was just go take care of it themselves. Like, we don't have to deal with it. They tried to figure it out, but it just wasn't the best solution. They didn't know what to do, and a lot of times, friends, you and I are like that too. When Jesus says, hey, you go do something, go take care of it, we're like, we try to figure it out. And we try to a lot of times figure it out on our own. Maybe I'm just the only one. I try to figure things out on my own a lot of times, thinking like I can do it. like this noggin that God's given me is I'm smarter than the average bear and I can take care of it. I'll handle it. And I just look at my own navel instead of going, what else can I do? Maybe instead I should pray about this first and ask Jesus to help me. That would be the best idea. I mean, not only am I a pastor, that would just be a good idea if I was a Christian, right? And what I do, I try to figure it out myself. And many times in our lives, that's what we do. You know, we get on Google, YouTube, we ask Siri. We do everything else but go to Jesus. And all Jesus is asking us to do is to call us. He's calling us and the disciples here in this situation. Hey, just trust me. I can figure it out for you. And admit at times that you can't do it on your own. That you just are not able. Wouldn't it have been awesome if the disciples would have told Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know what? We just don't know how to do this. We don't know how to feed all these people. We desperately need your help. Can you help us? And they didn't do that. And a lot of times we don't either. Yet Jesus, a good shepherd who provides continually and habitually for you and me, says, I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. Like, I want to do this for you because I love you. You matter to me. And notice the people, again, they didn't get their food themselves. Instead, when Jesus said sit and the disciples told him, what did they do? They sat down. They were obedient. They sat, they were instructed, and Jesus provided everything they needed. You know what else is cool about this miracle? Do you think the people in the middle of the miracle actually knew they were part of a miracle? I mean, that's kind of where I go whenever I read stuff like this. I don't know. Maybe the first few people realized it as they see, like, wait, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. There's a bunch of commotion behind me. There's like thousands of people. I mean, my mom made food go a long ways, but I don't know if 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish are going to cut it for that crowd. This is crazy. I wonder if somebody was just thinking that in the crowd. It's not in the Bible. I'm just wondering out loud. Right? And maybe there have been people later who they heard this story, hear the miracle about what Jesus did and how he fed these people, or read about it, and they realize at that moment they were there. That Jesus on that day did something extraordinary and provided in an amazing way for all their needs on that special day. You know what's amazing? You and me are in the lush green grass. Maybe you don't realize it, but something extraordinary happens each and every day as you follow Jesus. And as he loves you as his forgiven child, Jesus is continually providing for all your needs each and every day, both physically and spiritually. He still always cares for his flock and as the good shepherd. See, you're part of his flock. You haven't been fleeced. You've been forgiven. You've not been passed by. You've been provided for. You're not going hungry. You've been given grace upon grace that overflows from the heart of Jesus to you. May you go in that grace and that joy and enjoy it abundantly because it's yours. Amen. Please rise.